tonight for our Bible study. If you have the Word of God before you tonight, would you turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 19? 2 Chronicles chapter 19. And we're going to read from verse 4. We've been studying, maybe you haven't been tuning in. This is the first time you're tuning in on a Wednesday evening. We've been studying from the shutdown. We've been studying the life of King Jehoshaphat, one of the early kings of Judah. And we really entitled him the King Who Reigned in a Crisis. And we haven't got to the crisis yet because we're building up to that. We've looked at chapter 17, chapter 18, and we started chapter 19 last week. And this evening we are continuing in chapter 19. We'll read from verse 4 of 2 Chronicles 19. And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim, and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. And he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Wherefore now, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it. For there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Moreover, in Jerusalem did Jehoshaphat set of the Levites and the priests and of the chief of the fathers of Israel for the judgment of the Lord and for controversies when they returned to Jerusalem. And he charged them, saying, thus shall ye do in the fear of the Lord, faithfully, and with a perfect heart. What cause soever shall come to you of your brethren that dwell in their cities, between blood and blood, between law and commandment, statutes and judgments, ye shall even warn them that they trespass not against the Lord, and so wrath come upon you and upon your brethren. This do, and ye shall not trespass. Behold, Amariah, the chief priest, is over you in all matters of the Lord. And Zebediah, the son of Ishmael, the ruler of the house of Judah, for all the king's matters, also the Levites shall be officers before you. Deal courageously, and the Lord shall be with the good. Amen, and we trust the Lord will bless the reading of his precious and inspired word to all of our hearts. Now, I've entitled the message this evening, Jehoshaphat, His Consolidation. And the reason I've entitled it thus is because after his humiliation, the humiliation of defeat on the battlefield at Ramoth-Gilead, and after the rebuke of Jehu the prophet, and we considered last week particularly that rebuke that Jehu gave him as he returned humble from the battlefield of Ramoth-Gilead. But after the humiliation of defeat, and after being rebuked by the prophet Jehu for his folly and for his sin, Jehoshaphat set about strengthening and establishing the nation of Judah once again in the religion and in the laws of the Lord. And you'll see that in verse 4, the second part of verse 4, and in verse 5, he brought them back to the Lord God of their fathers, and he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city. So he began this work, he recommenced it, of establishing the nation in the laws and the religion of the Lord. He was consolidating the work that he had begun in the first 3 years of his reign. You'll remember back in chapter 17 and the verse 7, we noted in the third year of his reign, he sent his princes even to Ben-Heel. And it goes on to tell us to teach in the cities of Judah. So he visited the cities in the first 3 years of his reign. He taught them the word of the Lord. He called them unto the Lord. And what you have now in chapter 19, from verse 4 to the end of the chapter, he's doing that work again. And therefore, he's consolidating the nation in the laws and in the ways and in the worship of the Lord. He's consolidating the nation. Can I just make a point before we go any further? Jehoshaphat should never have stopped that work. He should never have been distracted from it. He should never have been interrupted from it. He was interrupted because of his affinity with Ahab. He was interrupted by going to war against Syria, Ramoth-Gilead, with Ahab. He was interrupted from that work because he got out of the will of the Lord. He disregarded the word of the prophet and he went at his own charge to the battle, and that nearly cost him his life. And now in chapter 19, he's going back to that work. Reminds me of the words in the book of the Revelation, chapter 2, in the verse 5, where the Lord spoke to the church at Ephesus. He said, after commending the church at Ephesus, after telling them that the good things that they had done and commending them for the good things they had done, he said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. And he said, repent and do the first works. And really what you have in these verses, Jehoshaphat is beginning to do the first works again, the works that he was doing at the commencement of his reign. Bringing the people back to God. Setting justice and judgment in the land. And now he's returning to it. But he never should have been distracted from it. And he's being called back to it now. As the church at Ephesus was. Maybe you can take a moment to reflect. That in the early part of your Christian life. Just after conversion. You served the Lord. You worked for the Lord. You labored for him to advance his kingdom. You were active within the local church. You were constant at the meetings. You supported them practically. And you endeavored to evangelize others for the Lord. And yet, like Jehoshaphat, time and temptation has taken you away from that work. And the Lord would say to you now, repent. Do the first works. We sing, I think Carol sung it on Sunday, the live broadcast, "Oh, for a closer walk with God." And the hymn writer said, "Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul refreshing view of Jesus and his word? Dearest idol I have known, whatever that idol be, help me to turn from thy throne and worship only thee." And Cowper, in writing that hymn, he was expressing his desire to get back to the first love experience. And maybe the Lord's calling you to that tonight. Just as Jehoshaphat had to come back and re-establish the general principles in his life and service for God, the Lord's saying the same to you. Repent. Do the first works. Now, consolidating the work involved two things. It involved a return to the Lord. Verse 4, the second part. It tells us that he went out again, and you'll see the word again. He'd already been out before, prior to the battle at Ramoth-Gilead. He in the first 3 years of his reign, he'd gone out among all his people. He'd gone among his people, working for the Lord. A preacher and a minister, and I want to be very clear what I say here. A minister has to give himself to study. We will give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. And a preacher, a minister's primary calling is to the closet, to study, to publicly preach and to pray unto the Lord. But, I emphasize the but, the man of God is also to be among the people. He's to mingle with the people. He's to mix with the people, that he can bring the word of God to the people. And he went out again, as he had done before. He went out again. And what did he go out again to do? From Beersheba to Mount Ephraim, and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. There was a strategy. He went out among them. There was a scope. He went from Beersheba in the south to Mount Ephraim in the north. This was a vision that encompassed the whole land, and he did it. He fulfilled his vision and went throughout the whole land to minister among his people, and in his success he brought them back. Well, they'd gone away. The people had slipped back from the Lord. How easily it can happen. Even with good leaders, with God leaders. And maybe when the leader, on this occasion, went astray. The people went astray. And they had to come back to the Lord. And you know, when the leaders of nations go astray, the people go astray. And so Jehoshaphat, returning to the Lord and returning to his first works, getting back with God and right with God and doing the first works, he had to bring the people back too. So there was a return unto the Lord. Maybe you need to return unto the Lord. And then there was not only a return unto the Lord, there was a recommissioning of the judges. If you look at verse 5, you'll see that. So in consolidating the work and his work, he called the people to return to the Lord, and he recommissioned the judges. Verse 5, he sent judges in the land. And really, that's what the rest of the chapter is taken up with. It's taken up with Jehoshaphat recommissioning and commissioning these judges and their work to establish justice and the law of God throughout the land of Judah. And that's really just what I want to center upon tonight, very briefly, and I think I will be brief tonight. Just four short lessons from Jehoshaphat, his consolidating the land by recommissioning the judges. I want you firstly to notice a principle, and I'm really picking up the thought of Matthew Henry here, commenting from verse 5 to verse 10. Matthew Henry made this point. He said, Jehoshaphat erected inferior courts in every city. Now you'll see that in verse 5. He set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city. So in every city, he set a judge. There was a court in every city. And that's what Matthew Henry was talking about. An inferior court in every city. And the people of that city brought their problems or their cases to that particular court. But then, Henry commenting on verses 8 to 10, he said he erected a supreme court in Jerusalem, which was appealed to in difficult cases. And you'll see that in verses 8 and 10. Moreover, in Jerusalem, the Jehoshaphat set of the Levites and of the priests and of the chief of the fathers of Israel for the judgment of the Lord and for controversies when they returned to Jerusalem. When a controversy couldn't be settled in the local judiciary or the local court, then the matter was returned to Jerusalem where there was a supreme court or a court of appeal. You'll see it furthermore in verse 10. And what cause soever shall come to you of your brethren that dwell in their cities, between blood and blood, law and commandments, statutes and judgments, you shall even warn them that they trespass not against the Lord. This do, and you shall not trespass. So he's saying that if a matter couldn't be settled in the local court, it was referred to the Supreme Court in Jerusalem. So you had a court in each city, and then you had a Supreme Court in Jerusalem, a little bit like today. I don't understand. Thankfully, I have never been in court too often. I let you into a little secret. When I was a teenager, I trespassed the driving laws, and I ended up, I think it was Coleraine, in fact I know it was Coleraine Magistrates Court, as an 18-year-old, and that was the only time I was ever in court. And thankfully the judge wasn't too harsh on me, but I'm not really overly familiar with the court system and setup because I've never been there too much. But a little bit like our own system, we have a magistrates court, we have a crown court, we have a high court, we have a supreme court, and there's various levels in the judiciary system. And that's the principle that Jehoshaphat was setting. There was the local court and then a supreme court. But I want to apply it because you might think, well, how does this relate in relation to me as a New Testament Christian or the New Testament church? Well, this is the very same principle that the Lord, through the apostles, put in place for the governance of the New Testament church. I'm not going to turn it up, but you read again for yourself, Acts 15. And you discover that there was a controversy in the local New Testament churches. It was a controversy about whether the Gentiles needed to be circumcised as well as believe in Christ to be saved. And such was the controversy, it couldn't be settled in the local churches. It split them, it divided them. And even with the influence of Paul, the apostle, those churches couldn't settle that matter. The local court was the session of that local church, the elders that were ordained to oversee and to rule in the local congregation. So Paul and Barnabas, they travelled and they journeyed to Jerusalem, where the council or synod of Jerusalem sat, and you read that all the apostles and the representation of the elders from the churches, they sat together to hear the matter, and they gave judgment that a man was justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And they sent decrees to all the churches that these were the matters that they were to observe in those local congregations. And what you have is a picture of this principle in action in the governance of the New Testament church. The local church is under the authority of the local session. The elders are ordained of God to oversee the local church. Acts 20, I think it's verse 28. Paul addressing the elders of Ephesus, he said, take heed to yourselves and to the flock over which the Lord hath made you overseers. The elders, the bishops, were overseers of the congregation in Ephesus. But whenever a matter could not be settled in a local church, it was referred to a higher court made up of all the apostles and the elders. And that is the principle for governance in the New Testament church, and it's best set forth in the system of Presbyterianism, whereby you have your local session overseeing the local church, and then above the local session you have a presbytery made up of the ministers and elders of the various churches within the presbytery's remit or the denomination. And they have authority to oversee various matters in those local churches. So you have a principle from the life of Jehoshaphat. And that same principle the Lord seemed fit to use in the governance of the New Testament church. But secondly, I want you to notice not only a principle here, but I want you to notice a precept. It's a precept or a command that Jehoshaphat gave as a charge to those who were judges. And it really relates to how they were to judge and how they were to go about their work. And the precept is really repeated twice. It comes under that little phrase, take heed. You'll see it in verse 6. And to the judges, and said to the judges, take heed. And in verse 7, wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it. The word take heed, or the phrase take heed, means to be cautious, to be careful. It stands as a warning. And Jehoshaphat is telling these judges that they are to be careful. He's warning them. And he's warning them as to how they go about their work and why they're to go about their work in a certain way. There are really two things I'll emphasize about this. They were to go about their work in the fear of the Lord. Look at verse 6. Take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord. They were to judge in the fear of the Lord. And he's telling them, as you judge a matter, you're representing the Lord. You're to uphold the laws of the Lord. What you do has a reflection upon him. And you're to do right for him and by him. And you're to act not out of self-motivation, not out of what you think may be right, but out of what God's word says is right. You are representing the Lord as a judge in his kingdom. And you're to judge in the fear of the Lord. There's a lesson there for the individual Christian. In our testimony, as we live our lives, we are to do it and we are to live in the fear of the Lord. We are to walk in the fear of the Lord. We represent the Lord. And we are to do right in how we live, how we judge matters, how we act in various ways, because we are representing the Lord. It also is an application to those in oversight in the church. We are to serve the Lord. Those that are elders in particular in his church are to serve the Lord in the fear of the Lord, because they are representing the Lord, and what they do has a reflection upon him in his cause and for his kingdom. So they were to judge in the fear of the Lord, but they were also to judge without favouring man. Look at verse 7. Let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it. For there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Probably a fault in every one of us, if we're honest, is that we're influenced by one means or another. But we should never be influenced because of who someone is, because of what they possess, or what they give to us, or what they do for us, or whether they belong to us or not. And Jehoshaphat is highlighting here a very solemn lesson to these judges. They are in their work, they are not to be influenced by human favours, by human position, by monetary gifts, or maybe even by threats. You see, the rich will try and buy themselves a favourable judgment. The powerful will try and influence a favourable judgment for themselves. But God is no respecter of persons. And in all our judgments and in all our doings, we need to recognize and understand that particularly those in authority in the Church of Christ, we cannot make decisions based on who someone is, their standing in the community, how much they may give to us individually, or to a particular cause with which we are associated with. We are to judge according to the word of the Lord. And we are to act and we are to deal with men in accordance with the word of God. And that is what Jehoshaphat is saying to these judges. In your task, take heed. Be careful, be cautious, because you're judging for the Lord. And therefore, you must judge in the fear of the Lord, realizing that you will give account to him. You are judging on his behalf, and you must judge without favoring man. You must judge according to the book. And how true that is in all of our lives, in the decisions that we make. So we've noted a principle. We have noted a precept. Notice thirdly, a policy. Look at verse 10 and the second part of it. Jehoshaphat sets before them the policy there to adopt. He said, ye shall even warn them that they trespass not against the Lord, and so wrath come upon you. What a powerful statement. What a spur to make us do right before the Lord. He said, this is your charge and this is your task. You are to warn every man that comes before you, they are not to trespass against the Lord. Their policy was to be one of godliness. Their policy was to be one of righteousness. They were to implement those policies in their judgments. They were to warn those that came before them that they were to walk in the commands of the Lord and not transgress the commands of the Lord. And you'll notice what Jehoshaphat says to them, for the judgment of the Lord, or so the wrath of the Lord come upon you. It's a solemn thing to be a judge in the kingdom of the Lord. It was a solemn thing to have to make judgment. And the Lord saying, if the judges don't do their task, and they don't uphold righteousness and warn the sinner or the transgressor of the evil of his ways and call him back to the Lord, and suitably instruct him and chastise him and punishment and pass right judgment, he says, therefore wrath may come upon you. Doesn't that remind us of the watchman? The watchman said it was his task to stand upon his post, and if he saw the enemy coming, he was to blow the trumpet and warn the people. Because if he didn't warn the people, God would hold him guilty, and the blood of the people would be upon his hands. And in a like manner, the Lord is saying to the judges, if you don't fulfill the task and commission I have for you in godliness and righteousness, and to warn men against sin, then I will judge you for it. And Jehoshaphat could speak from personal experience. He had been told by Jehu in verse 2, because of his affinity to Ahab, because of his backsliding, because of his getting out of the will of the Lord and his going to Ramoth Gilead, the wrath will be upon thee from before the Lord. The Lord chastens his people when they don't do their task for him that he has called them to and set before them. Chasten his people. May the Lord help us to fulfill our calling for him and to work and labour in that calling in a spirit of doing godliness and righteousness and warning men against their sin. Final thought tonight is this: there is not only a policy and a precept and a principle for these judges, there is a promise. It's found at the end of verse 11. Deal courageously. It takes courage to do what's right before the Lord, because not everybody will agree with you. Not everybody will follow the ways of the Lord. There will be those that will criticize. There will be those that will have another opinion, and they'll be very willing to share their opinion and tell people why their ways and their opinion is better than the judge or the overseer in the work of the Lord. And when you get those criticisms, it takes courage to say, this is the way the Lord has led us, and this is the way the Lord would have us to go, and this is the way we're going. He says, do courageously, do what's right. And here's the promise: the Lord shall be with the good. Those that do good in his kingdom, those that do righteously, and those that establish godly principles and work to that end, the Lord will be with. And you know, the Lord's the only one you need. It doesn't matter who is against you. If God be for us, who can be against us? And Jehoshaphat was very clear. You courageously do what is right before the Lord, and you will have the Lord's presence, and you will have the Lord's blessing, and you will have the Lord's help. And the Lord will meet every need that you have. Jehoshaphat consolidated the work that he began. I'm closing now. I'm finishing where I began. This chapter, the second part of chapter 19, is Jehoshaphat's consolidating of the work. He got back to his first works. after he had been taken away from them, distracted from them by a godless, rebellious sinner in Ahab. He went away to fight a battle the Lord never wanted him to fight. Then the Lord called him back to do his first works, and he consolidated the cause of God in the land. And I wonder tonight, is the Lord calling you back to do the first works of your Christian life and experience? May the Lord bless his word tonight to our hearts. Do you remember the broadcast on Sunday, 11:30, on Sermon Audio? Bethany Free Presbyterian Church, through Sermon Audio, the morning service and the evening service at 7 o'clock. I will be the preacher both services on Sunday. Can I encourage you, as we always do, just at the end of this time of Bible study, to have a season of prayer in your own home? Wednesday night, as you know, is our midweek prayer meeting and Bible study, so do take the time to seek the Lord just now. Pray, as we have been praying, for the protection, the preservation and the prosperity of God's church, even in these very difficult and uncertain days when we're shut out of our churches and we can't do our evangelism and our various church activities. We pray that the Lord will bless this time of shutdown spiritually to your soul, and that he will prosper his church. We've had the government statement about easing the restrictions. Can I just say to you that the session are looking at that, and we're seeking to get clarification. I think most people will agree that the time frame is vague, and therefore we have to seek the best clarification we can. But I just want to assure you that our session and our oversight is looking into these matters, and then we'll be working with our committee, and we will announce an update as soon as possible. But can I ask you to pray for the session of Bethany Church, that we'll have wisdom and we'll know the mind of God as we seek to work as a session and then with a committee to get things in place for when eventually the restrictions are lifted to a suitable degree, that we can get back to the house of the Lord, and we look forward to that. So pray about these matters. Do continue to pray for the sick, especially remember the elderly from our congregation who are in care homes, and we trust that God will bless you. I'm going to offer a short word of prayer. As I always say on a Wednesday night, once I preach, my voice tends to be a little hoarse, so it doesn't lend itself for a lengthy prayer. I'm going to briefly say a word of prayer, and then you take time to seek the Lord in your own home, and remember to tune in again on the Lord's Day. Our Heavenly Father and our gracious God, we thank you for the lessons we've learned already from the life of Jehoshaphat. Thank you for his godly character at the beginning of his reign. We thank you for the commission that he gave for the priests and the Levites to teach the word of God throughout all of Judah. We pray there will come a time again very soon when the word of God will be taught throughout the cities and in the towns of our province and of our nation and even of this island. We pray, our Heavenly Father, that, Lord, there will be men like men Jehoshaphat had around him, his comrades who helped him in the work and were a blessing to him in the work to do the work of the Lord. We pray that we'll learn from his compromise with Ahab, not to lose our separated identity and to abstain from affinities with evil, and to abstain, Lord, from being closely aligned with those that hate the Lord. We pray, Lord, that even when we find ourselves in difficult situations, that we'll not reject the counsel of the Lord, and we'll call upon the Lord that he might rescue us, that he might save us. We pray, Lord, that we'll take the rebukes that come our way. We know that he was rebuked of the prophet Jehu. And Lord, it is our prayer that when the word of God rebukes us, we will receive it as thus, and thus saith the Lord. And may, Lord, we get back to the first ways and the first works of our walk and service for the Lord, and do those first works that the Lord has called us to. Pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you will remember the people of God in Bethany Church. Remember those that are sick. Remember those that are struggling, Lord. Maybe even just with this shut down and locked down, and their minds are troubled and they're concerned and they're missing regular life. Be with them and bless them and help them and strengthen them. We pray too for those that are concerned about their jobs or their future. We pray for those, Lord, that are concerned about their loved ones in nursing homes, and for our elderly people in the nursing homes. Watch over them and protect them and keep them from this terrible virus. We pray that you'll give our session wisdom, Lord, and our committee wisdom to know the way forward in relation to the conclusion of these lockdown measures. And we pray, Lord, that the stages will come in good time, and Lord, soon we will be back again in the house of the Lord to praise and to worship thee. Bless thy cause and thy kingdom. Cause it to prosper, save the lost, edify and encourage the people of God. Unite thy church, and may glory and honour be brought to the name of Jesus. We ask it in the Saviour's name. Amen. Amen and good night, folks.